Thank you very much. Please be seated. Having had that wonderful introduction from Doug last night about how the Word of God actually does work, which won't be a shock to any of you, but is a shock to a lot of people. I remember talking to a fellow who just graduated from a theological seminary. Oh, this was 40 years ago. But he told me that you can't really understand the Bible because it's transcendental. It's just too high. It's too deep. You'll never get it. So why bother? Well, we don't know the whole Bible, but it says somewhere in Numbers that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So there are a lot of things we won't know. But those that have been revealed belong unto us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, God has revealed enough that we can live his word. So there's a lot that's been revealed. There's a lot that we do know. And what we'll talk about today in this morning teaching is how to receive from God. That's another area. Some Christians believe you can't receive anything from God. The whole purpose of Christianity is to have a nice community of people, to help each other out, to maintain high moral standards, to, sort of like a big group therapy. And there is value to having a community of believers. There is value to having high moral standards. There is value to a lot of those things. But those are sort of the benefits, the offshoots, the fruit of being able to believe God and receive from God. So in one extreme of Christianity, people think you'll never receive anything from God. On the other extreme are people that think they can talk God into doing anything they want. Just because I want it, God has to do it. Well, of course, neither is true. God can and will do great things for you, but he won't necessarily do everything you want. He'll do what he has promised to do. You know, just like you go to McDonald's, there are several types of burgers, wraps, and biscuit sandwiches you can get. But if you order filet mignon and a Caesar salad and, you know, your favorite chocolate mousse dessert, they probably don't have it at McDonald's. You can beg and scream and argue with the cashier all you want, and they'll ask you, do you want, you know, a regular burger or a Big Mac? Or a quarter pounder with cheese, because that's what they sell. You know, you can go to your hardware store and buy all kinds of nuts, bolts, and lawnmowers. You know, but go in there and ask to buy, you know, an airplane, they don't sell them there. You can haggle with them all you want. In a similar way, God has promised many, many things to us, and he will do those when we pray with believing. But, of course, the classic example you've probably heard me tell many times is some Christians I knew that were very fed up with the government, which is normal. See, I work in downtown Washington, D.C., a few blocks from the White House, and it's a national sport being fed up with the government. So it didn't surprise me, you know. And I thank God we're in a democracy, and you can have any opinion you want, and you can vote for who you want, and hallelujah. But this person went a little more extreme. She was going to pray that a big crevasse opened up, and the entire city of Washington just disappeared into it. She was really fed up with the political politics at that point. And she thought this was available. Because if she wanted it, she was going to pray for it and God was going to do it. Well, have you found a verse anywhere that says you can pray and Washington, D.C. will disappear? Thank God there's not a verse like that. Now, if God gave you revelation to pray for that, I mean, Moses did similar things to that. Where the ground swallowed people up. There have been times where God's done that kind of thing. But it's when God tells you he's going to do it, not just because I want it. So you got your two extremes. God will do nothing for you, or God will do the most ridiculous extreme things you want just because you want them. Neither is true. What we'll read about today is what is true. God will do things, but what things will he do, and how do we receive them? That's what we'll read about today. Let's start in 1 John chapter 5. First John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. We have great confidence in God. And by the way, a big goal of yours at camp should be to build confidence in God in areas where you need it. But maybe your confidence in God isn't as strong as you'd like it to be. Well, have a goal this week that whatever it is in your brain that's holding you back from having that confidence, you work through that. And before you drive down the hill at the end of the week, you have that complete confidence that God will take care of you. Well, this verse 14, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, now these next four words are critical, according to his will, he heareth us. According to his will. Very critical. Remember those four words. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15, and if we know that we hear us, he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Whatsoever we ask, according to his will. Remember that, because there are other verses where it talks about praying with believing, but it doesn't mention that, but it's still true. You see, biblical research is looking at all the verses on a topic and working them so they fit together and explain each other. The easiest thing in the world is to pick out one verse that agrees with your viewpoint and ignore the others. It's easy to do, it's just not legitimate. You know, it'd be like, you know, I got your chemistry book, Brian Lattimore, and you pick out, there's an inside joke there, but I promised I wouldn't tell it, so never mind. It's like your chemistry book, you know, you can't just pull out one little formula or one little ion combination. You got to look at how they all fit together. You got to look somewhere else in the chemistry book. Don't just pull out the one thing you want. Because otherwise it's like being in a math class. I figured this out when I was in high school. If I couldn't solve the equation, I could multiply both sides of the equation by zero and it would disappear. From an algebra standpoint, that's legitimate. But the teacher doesn't always like the answer you get if you do that. In the same way, you could just pull one verse out that agrees with what you think, but if you ignore the others, you're not really seeing God's will. You're seeing what you want to see. So remember those four verses according to his will. Let's go to Matthew 21. Because God will do a huge amount for you, but according to his will. Matthew 21. Verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now this is the kind of verse where people think I can ask for anything I want and God's got to do it. Even if it's having the city of Washington, D.C. disappear in a crevasse. Or having their neighbors that they don't like go up in smoke. I'm going to pray that my coworkers spontaneously combust. But not at their desk, because then it would burn my cubicle down too. They have to spontaneously combust in the parking lot. You might be sufficiently fed up with your coworkers that you want that to happen. But I haven't found any verses in the Bible where you can pray for people to spontaneously combust. So you have to look at this verse and say, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And the other thing is the word all, whenever it's used, it can mean everything in the world or it can mean everything within a certain category. One of my favorite examples is, anybody ever had a garden and raised anything at all? Well, if you've ever grown strawberries, just think about if I come in from the back yard into the kitchen with a basket of nice fresh red strawberries and I say, I picked all the strawberries. Now, do I mean I picked all the strawberries in the world? No. Do I mean I picked all the strawberries in the neighborhood? Do I mean I picked all the strawberries in my backyard? No. I picked all the strawberries in my backyard that are bright red today. I left the ones that are pink and green on the plant so they get ripe. And anybody that's ever grown strawberries knows that. It's obvious. If I say I picked all the strawberries, I picked all the ripe ones in my yard. Well, in the same way, when it says, all things whatsoever you shall ask, remember 1 John 5, according to his will. It's got to be available from God. It's like when you walk into McDonald's and you can have anything you want, as long as it's on the menu. You walk into the hardware store, you can have anything you want, as long as it's on the shelves in the hardware store. That's the way things are. Here we go to the dining room, you can have anything you want, as long as it's being served in the kitchen. So, all things whatsoever you shall ask. Mark 11. This isn't really that complicated, but like I say, some of us have been taught God will never do anything for you. Some of us have been taught God will do anything you feel like. And the answer and the truth is in the middle. God will do everything you want that he's promised to do. Just like McDonald's will serve you anything you want as long as it's on the menu at McDonald's. Mark 11, verse 24. Of course, I'm in California. I should probably say In-N-Out Burger. But that gets confusing because they got all that animal stuff that's not in the menu, and I don't know what to tell you about that. You guys got to figure that out yourself. Okay. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, or another way to be to put it is all things that you desire, but all things that are according to his will, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So you have to know what's available from God. What's God's will? Then you have to pray, you have to ask, and you have to believe. Those are the three simple steps. Know what's available by knowing God's will, ask, and believe. It's just that simple. Now, there are times where people didn't ask properly. Just like my friend who wanted my city where I work to disappear. James 4. James 4, verse 2. Or let's go back to verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You know, they're just warring because they wanted more. So they went to war for it. Verse 2, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you what? Ask not. They had needs, and instead of asking God for them, they went to war just to get what it was they needed. And then look at verse 3. You ask and receive not because you what? Ask amiss. They weren't asking according to his will. They were asking for stuff that was wrong. Ungodly, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. These were people that just wanted to have stuff that wasn't theirs, that they didn't deserve, that wasn't godly. They weren't asking according to his will. Now, how are we going to know his will? Well, let's go to Hebrews 11. Flip back a book. By the way, that's what Doug does several times in the afternoon. He brews a cup of tea. I've seen him. See, this helps. That's good. You see, sometimes you can get a little tired. You've been up late. You had a big breakfast. You groan. It gets the oxygen going. It keeps you awake. It's working. That's my goal. Keep you awake. Besides, I've heard people that groan at my jokes. 5 minutes later, I hear them telling somebody else. I know your tricks. You can't fool me. Okay. Hebrews 11. So groan all you want. Okay. Oh, actually, I wanted Hebrews 1. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter, but I wanted chapter 1. One at a time. Yes, thank you, Debbie. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God has spoken to his people in a number of ways. the two main ways he speaks to us today. Now, he can talk to people through donkeys. He can speak to people through dreams. He's thundered out of the heavens. This is my beloved son. He's made noise in the treetops to scare away the Syrians because they think an army is marching on him. He's communicating with people in many ways. But the two primary ways he'll communicate with us, the two ways he's promised and he explains in his word, are number one, by the written word. Anything in here, especially those sections that are addressed to us in the epistles, applies to you every day. It's always available. You can hold on to those verses. You can claim those promises because they're there for us every day of our lives. Then the other way he can communicate is by revelation. There are three revelation manifestations: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. So if I want to know what's available, what I can pray for according to his will, the first place I look is his written word. Anything he's promised there, I can pray for right now, and God will do it. But if I want something more specific than the general promises here, I have to get it by revelation. Otherwise, I don't know. We'll give some examples of this a little later on. But that's how God, the main ways God communicates. Now, he may communicate you with in a different way. That's his prerogative. But the two ways he's talked about and basically promised to us today are the written word and the three revelation manifestations. So that's how he communicates. Now, it's good also to know in Philippians chapter 2. Doug and I and others have done a lot of teaching on the manifestations, and you can find those recordings easily if you want to study them in more detail. So I'm not going to teach in any detail at all on them, but there is one verse that may interest you, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's at work within you. You have Christ in you. God can reveal things to you. He can give you revelation. He can show you things. So that's how you are going to learn specific things. The general promises of God are in the written word. Specifics about your situation, God can give you by revelation. Now let's look at a few examples. I'm going to look at a few of my very favorite verses that have helped me in my life, and that I talk about all the time, and I still think about these verses. There are many others that may be more meaningful to you, but the same principles we'll look at will apply. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Every part of your being, just trust God. And this is a great camp verse, because to me, one of the great things about camp is we get away from the world, we get away from our other responsibilities, and we just focus on God and his word, and there are wonderful believers that love us and pray for us and encourage us, and we help each other, and we just, one of the big focuses is trusting in the Lord. And the second part I love, lean not unto thine own understanding. And I am so glad, because if I had to lean on my understanding, I'd be in trouble half the time or more. Maybe two-thirds, three-quarters, seven-eighths, 15-sixteenths. A large amount of the time. Because there are things I understand and can figure out pretty well, and there are things I don't have a clue. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you all kinds of places. I don't have a clue. Or my daughter. She'll tell you too. My son, he just shakes his head. Walks out of the room. But we don't have to lean to our own understanding. Now look at verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Okay, so God's promised to direct my paths. So can I pray every morning, every day at lunch, every evening, anytime I want, that God will direct my paths? Absolutely. I should pray with absolute confidence, because it's according to his will that he directs my paths. So I can pray, Father, I don't know what direction to take in my life. I pray that you will direct my paths, and I thank you for doing it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And be totally confident. Now, does it say in that verse where he's going to direct my paths to? Does it say whether my path should be stay here the rest of my life, go there, go here, or some other? It doesn't. So if I make up my mind that I should be over there and pray, God, you've got to open the doors to get me over there. Well, if it's just something I want that he has not told me is his will, I can ask for it, but there's no guarantee he's going to do it. He's promised to direct my paths. I might be determined to go over there, and he might be directing my paths over there. Unless God tells me by revelation, you got to go over there. And that's happened in my life. God said, move here. Well, then, when I prayed and believed that the details would work out, they obviously worked out very easily. There were some challenges, but they worked out. Other times I prayed, like one place I wanted to go. See, Debbie and I once, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, studied Arabic together down at UCLA. You've heard that place. That's the good school in LA. We don't talk about that crosstown university of spoiled children. I'm getting partisan here. I shouldn't do that. Stop that. Okay. But I'd been there, and I also have an engineering degree, and I heard I had friends who went and worked as engineers in the Middle East, and I thought, that's cool. You know, I speak some Arabic. I know some engineering. I'll go over there and make a boatload of money for a couple of years and come back, and that'll be fine. Made sense, the sense knowledge-wise, right? I mean, logically, it made sense. I'd known people that had done it. So I started sending off resumes and talking to recruiters, and, oh, I did everything to go to there, and where I really wanted to go was Kuwait. Well, nothing opened. And about 2 years later, Iraq invaded Kuwait and sacked it. That was probably pretty good. I wasn't in Kuwait. But you see, that was one where I wanted to go, but God did not direct my paths there. It's okay to ask. It's okay to knock on doors. But God did not promise to send me to Kuwait. I got no revelation to go to Kuwait. It just sounded like a good idea, and I wanted to do it. Well, God did not open the doors, and by the grace of God, I didn't go. And I was sitting there in Washington, D.C., watching Kuwait getting sacked on CNN, thanking God that I didn't go there. And that's just one example in my life. We all have examples. We all have stories. But the point is, you pray that God will direct your paths. You can knock on any doors you want. You can ask for anything you want. But unless God tells you, go over here, you have no guarantee that that door is going to get open. But I can't tell you how many people I talk to that really want to go over there, and they pray and pray and pray, and then they get all mad when God doesn't open the door to go over there. God never promised you could go over there. He promised to direct your paths. And he will direct your paths. He'll get you to a place that works for you. And if he tells you it's over there, good. If not, just be thankful for whatever doors open and whatever's available. We usually are somewhere, and there's usually something to do there. Well, wherever you are, do whatever there is to do. And if God opens a door for you to go somewhere else, or God tells you to go somewhere else, hallelujah. But in the meantime, do what you are where you are. But you see, we have to ask according to his will. We know that whatsoever things we ask according to his will, he heareth us. So if God tells me next week to go to Kuwait, now it's according to his will, because he told me it's according to his will, because he told me to go there. Now I can start praying for every detail to fall into place, and it will. But until then, it's just my idea. All right. So let's say God's directed your paths. He's gotten you somewhere, either by telling you where to go or just opening the door and making it so obvious you have no other choice. Okay? So there you are. You're somewhere. What happens? You get there, and then you starve to death. Would that be fun? No, but you won't starve to death because of the next one we'll look at, Philippians 4:19. Should I say something corny like go Philippians through your Bible? Yeah. Okay, I won't say that. Okay, so God's directed my path and I'm somewhere. Is there anybody who isn't somewhere? No, you're all somewhere. Okay. So you're somewhere. Maybe your favorite place, it may not be your favorite place, but there you are. Until God opens another door, that's where you are. I remember reading this one great statement, that's this one great verse that's not in the scriptures. It said, bloom where you're planted. You are where you are. Bloom there until you go somewhere else. Then bloom there. Someone once told me I had a flowerful face because I was a blooming idiot, but I don't know. Philippians 4:19. Okay, so you're somewhere. You're somewhere. Now, how are you going to eat when you end up somewhere? Well, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the context, of course, deals with giving in the church, what we call abundant sharing often. That as you give, God will in return supply your needs. Okay, so you're at this place, you're giving, you're praying, you're believing, my God will supply all your needs. Is that according to the will of God? Yes. Can I pray with absolute certainty that God will supply all my needs? Absolutely. Can I pray and demand that God has to give me this job because I want it? No. Not unless he tells you. Now you can ask for that job. I'd really like this job. On paper, it looks like I'm qualified. It sounds like fun. They have really good coffee. You can ask for that job, and you can pray for that job. But there's no guarantee you're going to get that job unless either the doors fly wide open and they make you an offer, and it's obvious, or God tells you, pray for this one. So don't get all upset if you go for that job and you don't get it. Because God will still supply your needs. Or you could be really goofy, like some Christians I've talked to, just are convinced they're going to get revelation for just the right lottery ticket number. Now, you know that could happen. I mean, that's sort of what happened to Peter when they needed tax money and Jesus told him to go, you know, go fishing. Yeah. And the first fish he caught had money in its mouth. Because there were fish. Well, first of all, you got to realize people in that part of the world, and it's still true in parts of the East today, people will throw money into bodies of water as sacrifices to their various pagan gods. And so there would be money. It's sort of like the wishing wells in the mall, you know, except they were sacrificing their gods. So there were jewels and coins on the bottom of many bodies of water in that part of the world. And there was one kind of fish that would go around and see the coins and gobble them up. So it wasn't unique to have a fish who had a belly full of money. But they were really smart fish and very hard to catch. And there were people who would spend their whole lives trying to catch one. Sort of like somebody, you know, who doesn't have enough money already and then spends half of what they have on lottery tickets. And now they have half as much. Now they, instead of having only half the amount of money they need, they have a quarter of the amount of money they need. They didn't learn that the odds are against them. But then that's another story. So these people would go fish. So when Jesus told Peter to go catch a fish and the first fish he pulled up was the money fish, it'd be sort of like God giving you the lottery numbers and you ran down to 7-Eleven and you won the jackpot. But that was God's idea. And God might do that for you, or he might do something else. But the point is, unless God tells you how he's going to supply your need, you don't know. So don't get all worried about praying for this specific way that God will take care of you, and then getting all upset when it doesn't work out and blaming God for not coming through on his word or blaming yourself for not being a good enough believer. Because what he's promised is supply your need. So pray fervently that he will supply your need. Listen to see if he tells you anything specific to do. And if he doesn't, go with whatever doors God opens. And it's usually pretty obvious. If I go over here, they'll pay me enough to cover my rent and my groceries. If I go over here, they don't want to talk to me. If I go over here, they won't even look at me. Okay, I'll take this one. It's usually pretty darn obvious. And if God tells you something different, go do that. And that's fine. That's fine. Ask for anything you want. But go with the doors God opens. Because otherwise, you're just limiting God. And that's a big concern about people, is we limit God. We decide, you've got to take care of me this way. And if God doesn't take care of us this way, we get discouraged, we get mad, We call everybody up and say, why can't I get answers to prayer? And what we're doing is we're asking for something that's not according to God's will. And so God's not doing it. And then we don't know who to get mad at. Do I get mad at God? Do I think I'm a lousy believer? Do I get mad at, you know, some other believer in the fellowship who gave me bad advice and read the wrong verse to me? I mean, who am I going to get mad at? Well, I have to get mad at myself for limiting God, for deciding that the only way God can take care of me is this one job and I didn't get it, therefore life is over. Let's just give up and quit. How many of you have at some point maybe wanted a job and didn't get it? How many of you starved to death as a result of not getting that job? See, you survived. God came through some other way, didn't he? We've all seen it many times in our lives. Yet when the day comes that we don't get exactly what we want, we tend to get all angry. I've just learned to just pray and believe that God will somehow supply my needs. And whatever way he makes available, I enjoy it. But of course, I've always pretty much done anything anybody would pay me for that was legal. And as a result, I've always had work. Well, fortunately, nobody ever asked me to do anything illegal, so that wasn't a concern. But, you know, I've had all kinds of jobs. You know, I've maybe had like 7 careers and 18 different kinds of jobs. And I don't care. If they'll pay me and it's legal and I still have time to read the Bible and speak in tongues, I'll do it. And sometimes it's the job I really wanted. Other times it looks really zooey and goofy. But I get in there and I figure it out. After a while, I get good at it. And then when you get good at something, then you get a lot of satisfaction. And life goes on. It's a great thing. So, you've gotten to where God directed your paths. You've got your needs supplied. You're paying the rent and buying the groceries and, you know, even having enough to go to the movies once a week. Life is great. But what if you're miserable? Ah, we don't want that. Psalm 37. You don't want to be in the right place with enough money but be bummed out all the time. What fun is that? Psalm 37, verse 4. Well, we'll back up a little bit. See, the how of receiving is very simple. Find out what's available from God by knowing what's according to his will. And ask for it with belief. If he gives you a specific information, get this job, go to this place, do this thing, pray for that to work. If he doesn't, look at the more general promise. He'll direct your paths. He'll supply your needs. And then don't limit God. Because chances are he has a better location and a better means of income than you've ever dreamed of. But if you get so focused on only wanting that one thing, you've tied God's hands. Because he will not overcome your freedom of will. And he has a hard time giving you this really cool opportunity if all you can do is focus on this one little thing that I got to have or I'll die. So ask according to his will. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. I can't believe how many people I see that fret over evildoers. Are there evildoers in the world? Yes. Is there a devil in the world? Yes. Are there people you don't agree with? Yes. Are there people who are doing things that you absolutely could not approve and that's just wrong? Yes. Are there people who may not be doing evil things, but you just don't like them? Sure. So, should you fret over them? Should you be worried about them? Should you always be angry? I remember I had this one guy work for me once. He got indignant about everything. I'd see him coming down the hall, and I'd say, oh, here comes the big eye. You know, he's coming down. He's just, everything was, how dare they do? They can't. Just everything that happened in the office, he's just all. I said, get over it. That's what's going on. Have a cup of coffee. So what if they're not doing it the way you like? Or, you know, maybe they shouldn't be doing it that way, but they are. And we can't do a dang thing about it, so what are you getting all indignant about? He finally got used to our office and quit being so indignant. Then fortunately, the boss transferred him somewhere else, and I didn't have to worry about it. But some people just like to fret about everything. They want to get worried about evildoers. They can't do that. Huh. Well, there's only two questions. Can I do anything about those evildoers? Either because it's really obvious or because God told me, go do this. In most cases, you can't. In most cases, there's stuff going on in the world that's evil and you have no control over it. So why worry about it? Why spend your life? Now, if you can take positive action, sure, take positive action. But usually you can't. I mean, how many stories you read, see on the news, if you watch the news, can you do anything about? Very few of them. You can pray. But why should I get all indignant? Why should I get all fretting? Why should I get all worried? I mean, if you don't have anything else to do and you want to fill your time up, sure, you can sit around and worry about stuff. But I don't know why. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity or sin. Have you ever been around workers of iniquity that have, in some ways, life is easier and better for them than it looks like for you? Sure. But should I be envious? Those damn sinners, they got it so easy, and here I am praying, and I got to work so hard. Well, it says here, don't be envious about them. So, I guarantee you, sometime in the next month, you're going to see an evildoer. Don't fret. Also, sometime in the next month, you're going to see workers of iniquity that look like they have it better than you do. Don't be envious of them. It doesn't matter. Because God takes care of you. They're their problem. They're not your problem. Verse 2, why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And you guys know that. You see, the climate in the Bible lands was much more like California, frankly, this part of the world, where, you know, when there was rain, everything was green, and then everything got brown. Like a friend of mine in the Bay Area told me years ago, we have two seasons in California, the brown season and the green season. Not picking on you, Mary Jean, sorry. Okay, you get a season. Well, like where I live, our problem is too much water. It doesn't get brown very much. Occasionally, there'll be a week in the summer where your grass is a little brown, but the trees are still green, and then the grass gets green again. But it's they lived in a climate like you, where green stuff can very easily turn brown. Well, the workers of iniquity will be cut down like the grass. They'll wither as the green herb. So what do we do instead? Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and just live his word. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now that may not sound like much, but if you look at most of history, where there were always marauding bands of raiders coming over the hill throughout history, the very fact that you get to live in your own house and eat is a huge thing. And if you trust in the Lord and do good, you get to live in your house and eat. I think in our culture we have so much that somehow we think that, you know, it's not a big deal that you can live in your house and eat. Well, not me. I mean, you know, every time I pour a cup of coffee or eat a piece of toast, I'm thankful, because lots of parts of the world today and most of parts of the world throughout history, that wasn't always the case. So you can dwell in the land and be fed. But now verse 4 goes a step further. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Just get excited about the things of God. Get thrilled about the things of God. Get the word of God so much in you that that's what excites you. The first word out of your lips aren't fretting about evildoers or being envious against workers of iniquity, but they're being excited about the things of God. I'm just thrilled that God loves me. I'm thrilled that Jesus Christ gave his life for me so I can have the new birth. I can operate the manifestations of the Spirit. I can have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance in my life every day. I have the hope of Christ's return. I can pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ and get prayers answered. And just on and on, so many of the many, many wonderful things in God's Word. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. So not only is God going to get you to the right place and give you what you need, but when you get there, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is another verse that people have really confused. Well, the desire of my heart is that the city of Washington, D.C. will disappear into a crevasse. Or I'll get a job in Kuwait. It doesn't say the desires of your mind. The word heart is used in the Bible as sort of the innermost part of your being, where your really deep desires are. You see, this person who wanted Washington, D.C. to disappear, what she really wanted was for the political system to do what she thought was important. And she thought it had gotten so bad it was not worth fixing, just throw it away and start over. A lot of people think like that today. And since I'm sort of halfway part of the system, I don't necessarily agree with that, but people do. And we live in a free country, so you can think that way if you want. Well, but that's what she really wanted. She wanted to see some justice and some honesty in government, and she didn't feel she was seeing it. Sometimes people will buy a massive car, and maybe it's a good thing they have the car, but sometimes it may not be the car they want. They just want a feeling of self-importance or respect from other people. Or they might want a certain job, not because they need the job, or they maybe even need the money. Maybe they want the prestige that comes with it, or standing in the community. I mean, people are different. But the point is, behind everything you do, there's usually a deeper inner need. And that's what God will give you. And that's, again, why we don't limit God. I don't say, I've got to have one of these, or I've got to do that, or I've got to have the respect of these people. Those are all nice things. But what we really want is to have some inner needs and longings filled. And God will give you what you need to get those filled. Now, it may be the car. It may be the job. It may be getting to hang out with certain people. It may be something else. But whatever it is that you need deep down inside, God will provide that for you. And it's another area where we don't limit God. Do I know it's the will of God for him to give me the desires of my heart? Yes. Do I even know what the deep down desires of my heart are half the time? No. I know I'm feeling a little funny. I'm feeling a little disoriented. Things aren't quite right, but I don't necessarily even know why or what it is that's lacking. But can I pray with all confidence that God will give me the desires of my heart? Absolutely. And if God tells me I'm going to give you the desires of your heart by doing this, I can pray for that and work through getting it. But if he doesn't, I don't know. I just keep praying, and I can't tell you the number of times where I have prayed for that, and then all of a sudden one little thing changes. You know, I end up learning something or reading something or talking to somebody, or a certain believer shows up to bless me, and whatever that little lack is missing in my life all of a sudden clicks, and it's there, and I'm fine. And another thing that we have that isn't even in these verses, but it's true, is that we can speak in tongues. And when I speak in tongues, I pray according to the will of God. And whatever the need is in my life, I'm praying perfectly. So that's another great thing. Because remember, whatsoever we ask according to his will, he hears us. Oh, when I speak in tongues, I'm always praying according to God's will. So God gives me what I need. So to summarize, whatever it is in your life you want to pray for, whatever you need, ask according to his will. Start with what's promised in the written word. Pray with absolute confidence he'll do that. But don't limit God to one way of taking care of that need unless he shows you and tells you. That's it. Just pray and see what doors he opens. And speak in tongues, because that is perfect prayer according to the will of God. Two quick things to wrap up here. Then we're going to go to Vote with Moat, which is a great time of day. Go to Philippians 4:6. And as Joy reminded me, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4:6. I cannot count for you the number of times this verse has turned my life around. Because I get into a situation where I'm all worried, I'm all upset, I'm all nervous, and then I realize, wait a minute. Philippians 4:6. Be careful, or can be translated anxious, worried, distracted, freaked out, stressed out, generally unstable. Be careful or anxious for how many things? Okay, think about that one thing you're really worried about today. Be anxious for nothing, even that. Think about something else that's sort of been bugging you and you haven't decided whether you want to get freaked out about it or not. Be anxious for nothing. And you say, but wait a minute, you don't understand how big my problem is. That's a nice verse, but that's way too simplistic. I got a real problem. You're just this happy guy that's always telling puns. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, I'm made out of dust, too. I have an old man nature, too. I have a devil attacking me also. It just shows up differently in my life than it shows up in yours. But what does it say in Corinthians? The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren which are in the world. We're all going through the same messes. Okay? You just go through them differently than I do because you're different in a different situation. But this is true for each of us. Be anxious for nothing. Well, what am I going to do instead? I spend half my day being worried about that. If you take that away, what am I going to do? You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Okay. Be anxious for nothing. So what am I going to do instead with all that time and mental energy instead of worrying about everything? In everything, by prayer and supplication, which is specific prayers, make your requests, let your requests be made known unto everybody in your neighborhood, all your extended family, everybody in your fellowship. Now, you can talk to them if they'll give you a little, you know, perspective from God's word, but to get results, you have to let your requests be made known unto God. And what's going to happen if you do that? If you, and notice it says with thanksgiving. It takes mental discipline to be thankful. The easiest thing in the world is to get negative about everything. It's easy. It's the default position of people. It's to gripe and get negative. It takes discipline to stop and be thankful. And consciously decide, I will be thankful for what God has given me while I pray for these other needs I have. If you're not doing that, you're not doing your homework, and you're not going to get results. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and specific prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so don't ask me to explain it, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? So you got to pray. You got to be thankful. And you just have to make up your mind, I'm not going to worry about everything everybody else is worried about. I won't do it. And if you can't have the mental stamina to do that, you just won't get results in your life. It's just like an athlete. If an athlete can't figure out how to train, that athlete's not going to win any competitions. Well, as spiritual athletes, if we don't train our minds, we won't get the results. One quick one to close, because I'm running over, as I'm known to do. Here we go. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come timidly, meekly, shyly, no, boldly under the throne of grace. You have a need, go boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, that's how you receive the things of God. It's not magic. For most of it, that's review, but these truths work day by day, and we just have to discipline ourselves to stick with them. And now, to tell you more about our morning program, Doug Seed!